You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
All right, let's go. Good morning. Good morning. Where are my dog people in the house? Yeah, there we go. I didn't know I was a dog person until we got a puppy. Last September, she was this little when we got her. And now she's this little, a golden doodle. I love her. Her name's Zoe. We had fun with that intro. Dog people. We like cats too, right? Awesome. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning together, singing and worshiping. And we're going to turn to the Word here in a bit. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you have your phones with a Bible app on it, here's the permission to pull that out. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of gospel community. What is gospel community? Gospel community, what does it look like? Who are its people? How does it act? What does it do? How does it impact us? You know, I could have used the word faith community. I could have used the word Christian community. But it's a gospel community. That's who we are. That's what we're a part of here at Bethel University. So let's look at the Word of God. And as I would say, I won't make you do it this morning. This is where I would pause at church on Sunday morning. I would drink this is exactly what I'd do. I would say, as is our tradition, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I won't make you do that today. But when we read God's Word, why we stand, why some churches do that, is because we say we revere God's Word. We're ready to hear God's Word. We're ready to accept God's Word and have it impact our lives. You guys ready for that this morning with me? Amen. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. It'll also appear on the screen for you. Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then we'd say, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. What is a gospel community? What is a gospel community? I love breaking down phrases. I said this on Monday. I'm like a grammar nerd when it comes to phrases in the Bible. Any of grammar nerds in the house this morning? Okay, I got an amen. A grammar nerd. I felt like that was a professor. I like it. A grammar nerd. Gospel community. We know what community is, right? What's the gospel? So a lot of preachers will end their sermons with the gospel. Is it okay if I begin mine with the gospel today? Is that cool? Let's begin with the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news of Jesus Christ. We got that word gospel from a Greek word in the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek. We took that word, we translated it, transposed it, came up with this word gospel for our Bible translations, but that original Greek word literally just meant good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. So when we say gospel community, we could also say a good news community. When you hear good news, what does it make you feel like? It makes you feel happy. If I was to say right now, I have some really good news for you. Are you ready for it? What does it do? It immediately excites you. Immediately, at least it does me, excites me. It immediately gets you anticipating what this good news is. You ever heard anybody say, which do you want first, the good news or the bad news, right? I always want the good news first. What's the good news of Jesus Christ? Because it is very good. This is just part of what the good news is. I could talk about this the rest of the time. Part of the good news of Jesus Christ at its core is that I don't have to work to earn God's favor anymore, ever again. I don't have to work to earn God's favor. I am favored in God because of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to do some amens this morning. Is that okay? This is what we do in my church. We're going to do some amens this morning. You don't have to say amen. I will just say amen, and you're welcome to respond back, okay? What else is in the good news? I am unconditionally loved forever. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are unconditionally loved forever. Is that good news?
Amen.
Do you feel, let's feel our heads lifting up today with that. Unconditionally loved forever. Also in the good news, all the sins that I've committed and will commit, all the sins that I've committed and will commit. I won't take a long time and talk about sin this morning, but I will say, do you know John Carr has sinned? Did you know that? That was some news, wasn't it? John Carr has sinned. John Carr probably sinned this morning and didn't even know it. Did you know that you've also sinned? We don't have to be afraid to talk about sin. Sin is anything that's outside of God's best for us, anything that's outside of what God has called us to through His scriptures. We've all sinned, the scriptures say. We can just accept that today, can't we? We've all sinned, haven't we? Can I get an amen on that one? We've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All the sin that I've ever committed, all the sin that I will commit, both knowingly and unknowingly, are washed away in Jesus Christ. That's good news. If you're in Christ, all the sins you've committed, all the sin is washed away in Jesus on the cross. In the good news, I have a hope that is secure in heaven. Earlier in Colossians, Paul says, earlier in this chapter, he says, seek the things that are above, not the things that are below. Seek the things that are above where Christ is in God. My hope is secure in heaven today. That encourages me. And I have a life in the good news that can be filled with purpose. I like the word zeal. That can be filled with purpose for the glory of God. And that's not just true for me. That's true for you. Is that good news this morning, Bethel? Is that good news this morning? So Paul says, therefore, because of this good news, this is what he's doing in this letter to the Colossian Christians, to encourage them to stand firm, to encourage them in their confidence, to encourage them in a world of turmoil. He says, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. What's that word rule mean? It means guard. It means garrison. Over the last few months, have we had the thought, boy, I could use some peace. I could use some peace in my life. I wouldn't be unhappy if I saw more peace in the world, right? I could use some peace. I have a big quote from biblical scholar F.F. Bruce as he writes in the New International Commentary on the New Testament regarding this passage in the book of Colossians. Would you bear with me as I read it? Because there's another big word in here that defines what it means to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. He uses the word arbitrate, or be an arbiter. Let's hear this. Let the peace of Christ, Bruce says, be arbiter in your hearts. And I'll define that in a little bit. He says, when hostile forces have to be kept at bay, the peace of God garrisons the believer's heart. As in Philippians 4:7, which says, Paul's praying that the peace of Christ would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. He says, the peace of God garrisons the believer's heart. But here, the common life of fellow members of the body of Christ is in view. There's a community aspect to the peace of Christ guarding our hearts. Paul is speaking in a plural sense to his audience in this letter. He's moved from the indicatives of laying out the gospel into some imperatives, into some encouragements, commands, if you will. And he says, let. You know what the word let means? This is not a trick question. What's the word let mean? Allow. That's exactly right. To allow. It means to allow. That means we have a participatory place to play in the peace of Christ garrisoning, arbitrating in our hearts. You with me on this? Bruce continues. He says, in the body of Christ, when differences threaten to spring up among us, the peace of Christ must be accepted as arbitrator. If the members are subject to Christ, the peace which he imparts must regulate their relationships with one another. It is not to strife, but to peace that God called them in the unity of the body of Christ. Awesome. And what does arbitrator mean? Arbitrator. An arbitrator is an independent person or body officially appointed to settle a dispute. I dig that. The peace of Christ between separate parties, if we allow it to rule and reign in our hearts, can come in and be arbitrator. He continues in this commentary to say that there, in a gospel community that's full of the fruit of the Spirit, there would never be any need for strife. There would only be peaceful living amongst one another. It doesn't mean we don't debate. It doesn't mean we don't have opinions, right? It doesn't mean we don't stand up for what we believe in. But we do so in a way where the peace of Christ, the peace that we have with God, and the peace that we have with each other rules who we are, arbitrates. Amen. He continues, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The other morning, Hannah, my daughter, was asking me, she said, Dad, do you have this passage memorized? And I was like, I don't know. Let's try it. I butchered it the first time. We worked through it 5 times. She was like, you missed an or. You missed an and. That was awesome. She was so particular about it. And then the last time through, I said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is verse 15 still. To which you were called in one body. What did I miss there? Hannah got it. She said, indeed. You missed indeed, Dad. Indeed. And Paul does that specifically. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts indeed. He emphasizes. And be thankful. And be thankful. The next let verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it mean to dwell? To live. It means to take up residence. It means to let the word of Christ abide in you. It means to let the word of Christ make its home in you. And here's the grammar nerd coming out. Let the word of Christ dwell in. Prepositions. I love them. In could be translated 2 ways. It could be specific to us as individuals. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. And it could be translated in the community sense. Let the word of Christ dwell among you. I like them both. Both are theologically accurate. But the among you has a weight for me. You know, we have an opportunity this weekend to let the word of Christ dwell among us richly. Do you know what that event is called? Scripture 66. I encourage you to sign up this week in the Dining Commons. I encourage you to go with your dorm Bible studies or your crew on your floor. I encourage you to go with your peoples and go read the Word of God this weekend, starting Friday after chapel until Monday before chapel. It's a time-honored tradition at Bethel University. We as a community read through the Scriptures once a year together in Shiloh Prayer Chapel. I encourage you to take part in that. That is part of what it means to let the word of Christ dwell among us richly. He says, he continues, Paul, he says, while you're doing this, while you're letting the word of Christ dwell among you richly, if we are a community that lets the word of Christ dwell among us, if we're people of God's word, the word of Christ will just come out of our mouths. Letting the peace of Christ rule and reign in our hearts and letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly will create an overflow in our lives. An overflow of teaching and admonishing, which means encouraging one another, in all wisdom. And then Paul drops this big word. Out of the overflow of the peace of Christ and the word of Christ in our lives, teaching and admonishing each other in all wisdom, singing. This morning, on the way to school, so I get to take Hannah and her friends to school. Sounded like a lot of friends. It's just two other friends. They're in the back seat of the CRV. A couple weeks ago, Hannah asked on the way to school, "Dad, can we play Disney songs today?" I was like, "Yeah." So went to Apple Music. I mean, this happened fast. Disney, whatever playlist came up. The girls got in the back seat. It was a Friday. And when it's Friday, they run from the house into the back seat and they say, "Happy Friday, Mr. John." Friday. Got it? Okay. This morning, I got to drive again. So when they came in, they did it. They said, "Happy Wednesday, Mr. John." Kids, they teach us. So we were going through this Disney playlist. And the rule of the game is, because it continues and it happened again this morning. As soon as you know the Disney song, you can say the name of the song, but you need to say the name of the movie. You want to play the game this morning? You ready? Okay. Do you want to build a snowman? Frozen. Can you feel the love tonight? Thank you. A whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. Aladdin. Okay. And then this one dropped on them. You'll be in my heart. Tarzan. They didn't know it. Addie in the back seat. That's the one with the little guy that got raised by gorillas. And I took my hands off the steering wheel very quickly and went, "Oh!" And then they said Tarzan. Okay. This morning, I can't believe I'm doing this. This morning, on the way in, we did the game again. And sometimes the Lord will just give me a song in the Disney playlist, because that's how he works. So I'm not going to sing it. Maybe I will. Rise up. That's all I'm going to give you. It's Beyonce. No, it's tricky, isn't it? It's from the new Lion King live action. It says, "Spirit, yeah, watch the heavens open. Spirit, can you hear it calling? Your destiny's coming close. And be one with the great I am." Beautiful lyrics. So what was John doing on the way, confession, to preach in chapel this morning? Man, the Lord just has let me rock out to Beyonce. I can't believe it. Don't judge me for that. Singing. And then I show up singing. The Lord's doing something in my life with singing. And I want to invite us as a community into that. You know why singing is so important? Sean and I were talking about this on Monday. One, he had a great point. It helps reveal where we are in our emotions. It speaks to an emotional awareness in us. For me, what singing has been, and I invite us into it, when we're singing, we're getting through it. When we're singing, we're making it. That is not a theological statement. It's an anecdote. When we're singing, we're getting through it. We're making a way through it. A gospel community, Bethel, sings. And when you sing, it's a sign. There are many things in our day and age that could steal away or dissolve, stay with me on this sentence, the peace we sense in Jesus, though never the peace we have in Jesus. We could let the sense of peace be dissolved, but the true peace we have with Jesus will never be dissolved. It is indissoluble. You'll look that word up later. Unable to be defeated. So we let the peace of Christ guard our hearts. We let the word of Christ fill us, and we sing. And in verse 17, Paul finishes this thought. He says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And whatever you do, what does that include, Bethel? In whatever you do, everything. Just in case you weren't sure that it included everything, Paul says, in whatever you do, qualifying this with in word, in your speech, in your actions, he says it again, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A gospel community does everything in Jesus. It eats, it sleeps, it studies, it prays, it laughs, it disagrees. I made up a word here. It opinionates, it learns, it grows, it loves, it cries, it smiles, it greets in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ, the one who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God after finishing the work of salvation once and for all, that Jesus. Our response can be joy, can be obedience, can be peace in our community, can be faith, can be growth. A gospel community. When we go to practice today, Bethel, when we go to class today, when we're in the library, when I'm enjoying an amazing chicken salad sandwich right after chapel this morning, whatever we do in word or deed, doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I'll say this again as I did Monday. If you're a part of this Bethel community and you do not know the Lord Jesus, welcome. We're glad you're here. I love that you're here. I love that we have the honor to get to journey with you, to get to journey with you through your years here at Bethel. I pray that Bethel University would love you and serve you and be a faith community to you, that you could see the gospel bearing fruit in our lives. Because you know what the gospel does? It births, B-I-R-T-H-S, it births true community. For those among us, I pray as we journey. I'll say this too. There are tons of staff and faculty and friends that would love, would be honored to walk on that journey with you if you're seeking what it means to have faith. This is a picture, Bethel, of a happy community, a joyful community, an encouraging community, a singing community, a peace-filled community, a teaching community, and a learning one. It's a community filled with the word of Christ. It's full of thanksgiving. It's a people doing everything in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus. This is a community of faith. This is the church of Jesus Christ, and this is who we are. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, take the word and put it in our hearts. Let it dwell in us richly. I pray today, Heavenly Father, you would lead us to allow the peace of Christ to rule and reign in our lives. May this be a community that continues to glorify you, full of the light of Christ, full of love for one another. And as we go today, all across campus, singing. It's your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You're dismissed. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.